I've got 9:32, and Ms. Mouse, would you take roll for us?
Yes, I will, Dr. Stenhoff. The first person, Dr. Stenhoff.
Here.
Dr. Davis Wilson.
Present.
Dr. Davey is absent. Ms. Denton.
Present.
And Dr. Race.
Present.
We do have a quorum.
Great. Thank you. Board staff, thanks for putting together this agenda. Obviously, there was a lot of work, and those of you who are going to be sitting through the meeting will find that out shortly. Committee members, also thanks for putting the effort into this. And again, this is actually a good time for me. I'm enjoying it and glad that that everybody's here to go through this. So thanks for being here. And then everybody from the community, thanks for coming. Those applicants and those that are representing applicants, thanks for taking the time to be here as well. Appreciate it. It helps the process a lot. So I'm really glad that you're here. So next comment on this is a continuing education credit for committee meeting attendance. The Board of Psychologist Examiners is approved by the BACB as an ACE continuing education provider. Attending a meeting of the board's committee on behavior analysts is eligible for continuing education credit for maintenance of BACB certification. To claim this credit, make a note of the code words provided hourly throughout the meeting to report the code words to board staff for purposes of earning continuing ed credit. Look for the link on the board's meetings page for this particular meeting. So I do have a couple of questions before we get going that may be able to be addressed now or maybe down the road, but as a committee member, can committee members take advantage of accessing the CEs through their attendance as well?
Mr. Chair, does our ACE coordinator know the answer to that question? Or maybe we should take a break at some point in the meeting for research purposes, and then we can talk about it at the end with that item. Mm-hmm. I did some research and I only have a partial answer.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Does that sound good, Dr. Rates?
I think that would be great. Yes.
Okay. Great. All right. And then one other question is, do the hours count as ethics credit or just general credit? Ethics?
Yeah.
All right. Great. Well, that's even better. So thank you for that. All right. Let's move on to agenda item 4, approval of the minutes. We'll do these by each line, just since there's people who've been absent. First one is April 29th, 2022, regular session minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Great. Do I have a second?
I actually can't. Sorry, I was not at that meeting. So I
was I present at this meeting? Let me double check. Because I thought I was absent as well.
Ms. Galvin, may I second those? Or do we need to, because we don't have quorum on that, need to table those?
Nothing prohibits you from seconding that motion, but I just want to be sure that if Dr. Rates and Ms. Denton were absent, that we would then not have quorum.
Do we have a finding on Ms. Denton's?
I am presence? Looking. I'm double checking.
Right. The minutes should say.
Yes. Oh. Chair, Zakiya and I checked to make sure that the attendance allowed for the minutes to be approved. We think we're correct.
Okay.
It doesn't look like on the 29th I was present. It looks like Dr. Rates was present.
Yes. I'm sorry. I thought we were approving for the May.
Okay.
Oh, so no. Yeah. We're going to start. Yeah. April 29th. So do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
I will second.
Great.
Great.
Then we can vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Next is the executive session minutes for April 29th. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay, now we're moving on to May 27th of 2022. Let's see, Dr. Rates, you were absent, correct? All right. Ms. Denton, were you present for that one?
I was present for that one.
Perfect. Perfect. Can I get a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Great. Second?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Motion carries. All right. Let's go on. Same date, May 27th, executive session minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those?
So moved.
Second? I'll second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye, sorry.
Okay, just want to make sure, Doctor. Thank you. All right, so the motion carries for the admissions or the minutes to be approved for that. Okay, June 30th, regular session minutes. I am recused for those due to an absence. Can I have somebody carry that part for me?
Mr. Chair, actually, the final agenda took that set of minutes off due to a quorum. So we can only approve April and May. We'll put June on the next agenda.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's move on to agenda item number 5, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding recommendation to board pending to approval of behavior analyst applicants. The first applicant we're reviewing is Nicole Martinez. Ms. Denton, you are the lead for that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Martinez is here on the line with us as well, and so I wanted to acknowledge that. This is another time that this application has come forth to us. Previously, we had concerns regarding the total number of hours accrued over a 3-month span, noting that it exceeded the 130 hours allowed by the BACB per calendar month. With this being said, we requested additional documentation from Ms. Martinez. She provided a copious amount of detail, noting the exact hour breakdown across the months, having the supervision forms completed, the experience verification forms for each month. At this point in time, after reviewing the data that is presented in there, it appears that it does not exceed the 130 hours per month. We were looking at 3 months, and it was actually a total of 4 months whenever we got those specific dates. So given this correction at this time, I do not have any other concerns about the application and would move that unless any other committee members have any comments, that it moves forward to the full board for review and potentially approval.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Then moving on to the next applicant, Jenna Battaglia. There was a fair request on this. There was a request for clarification of how many hours were received from Dr. Young Pelton and a verification of 1,500 hours required under R4-26-404.2. Based on item 2 of the FAIR, it doesn't appear... it doesn't appear that she still meets the requirements of the 1500 hours for licensure. I noted on there, hold on a little minute, that the hours were, the hours, there was an intensive practicum. There was only 750 hours met under this. And due to a state statute, there's a shortage of 750 hours to move forward for licensure. So I don't know if Ms. Battaglia is on the line. Are you? Okay, so did any other committee members have any comments related to that application? Okay, so in that case, because of the shortage, either another fare needs to be submitted requesting that, or a recommendation that further hours be obtained so that the requirement is met. Would everybody agree to that?
Yeah, I'm not sure that a second fare is going to resolve the concern. I think explaining to her that we can't move forward with an approval and seeing under what timeline she would be able to complete the hours to make sure that it's still within the application time frame, or giving her the option of withdrawing and reapplying once she has those hours.
Okay. Great, thank you. And board staff, were you able to note that?
Yeah. Sorry. yes, Mr. Chair. So I think we can, just for purposes of putting it on the table, notify her that she, incorporate a fair request. And in the process, make sure she's really clear that there's only so much time that she could possibly complete that request, you know, with all of the timeframes and extensions that are afforded to her in that process. And then we can also identify the alternative for her, which is to withdraw. So Ms. Galvin, would you agree just to extend both opportunities to her, even if one may not be very realistic?
Agreed.
Okay.
All right, thank you. All right, let's see. Next application is to Dara Hussein. Hussein, Dr. Rates, you're the lead on that.
Yes, thank you. So this applicant received their BCBA certification in May of 2022. They completed a master's in education between 11/2020 and August of 2021 at the University of Cincinnati. Supervision all occurred at Adventure ABA under Dylan Huff between May of 2020 and August of 21 for a total of 1,673 hours, and supervision was here, and the supervisor was licensed and in good standing. So I did not see any issues with this application and would recommend it move forward.
Thank you. Next application is Carly Robison. I want to disclose that I was Ms. Robison's, one of her instructors while she was working on her master's degree. And I also noted that Dr. Davis Wilson is recused from this application. So, Dr. Reitz, you were the lead on that one as well.
Yes, thank you. So this applicant received their BCBA certification in June of 2022, and they completed a master's degree from ASU between August of 2020 and May of 2022. Supervision occurred at AST and in Bloom, and that was for a total of 2,046 hours across multiple supervisors. The only thing I noted on this application is just that there were notes on, let's see, what page are we on? Page 11, where they indicated as a result of COVID, they did have some of the time being not face-to-face. But apart from that, I did not see any issues or anything of note with this application.
Dr. Rates, in view of that, do you see any need to hold it back, or can we move that? Okay, go ahead. All right, thank you. All right, next application is Adriana Torres Bonilla. Ms. Torres Bonilla received her BCBA certificate in May of 2014. She graduated in July of 2017 from Purdue University Global with an MS in psychology and ABA. She received 1,557.48 hours of supervision under two supervisors in California, which does not require licensure. I did not note any concerns with this application and recommend it move forward to the board for approval. Okay, next applicant is, or application is Jenna Fileri. Ms. Denton, you're the lead on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Fileri passed her board-certified behavior analyst exam on June 2nd of 2022 after graduating with a master's in education and special education from Arizona State University in May of 2022. She received her supervision in the states of Kansas and Missouri, both of which are states that require licensure. The supervisors who provided that supervision had met all of the requirements for licensure in the states that the respective supervision occurred. They were both in good standing. This applicant had a total of 2,219 hours of supervised experience by licensed behavior analysts in the state of Kansas and Missouri. At this point, I do not note any concerns with the application, and it's exciting to see that across different states, we have no problems, and I would move that we push this forward to the full board.
Great, thank you. All right, next application is Ana Moreno, and that is Dr. Davis Wilson. You're the lead on that one.
Yes, so Ms. Moreno passed her exam in May of 2022. She did the ASU online master's program and graduated in August of 2020. Her supervision was done in Arizona for just over 1,500 hours between November of 2020 and February of 2022. She did have multiple supervisors, all of which are verified, licensed, in good standing in Arizona. And I did not see any concerns with this application and would recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Thank you. All right, next application is Stephen Cook. I need to disclose that I was Mr. Cook's, one of Mr. Cook's instructors while he was working on his master's degree. Is there anybody else that needs to know something similar?
I do have the same disclosure. I was also one of the instructors, but I am comfortable moving forward with this application.
I am likewise. So Dr. Rates, your lead on that.
So this applicant received their BCBA certification in June of 2022. They completed their master's degree at ASU between August of 2020 and May of 2022. Supervision occurred across multiple supervisors at Hope Bridge for a total of 2,012 hours. And in review of the application, I did not note any areas of concern and would recommend that this be moved forward.
Thank you. Next application is Norma Padilla. I think I noted that Ms. Padilla is present, and Ms. Dent, you are the lead on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Padilla passed her exam on May 31st of 2017 after graduating with a master's in education from Arizona State University in May of 2016. Her supervision ranged from August of 2014 to May of 2016 for a total of 1,557 hours. Supervision and the experience did occur in the state of California, which does not require licensure, so that is not a concern. But her BCBAs had the supervision training that they needed to have by the appropriate time. Everything appears to be in appropriate state here. The only thing that I noted was that on Julia Diebolt's multiple supervisors at one form site, it says that her training occurred on May. Her supervisor training occurred on May 23rd of 2015. This would have placed that after the supervision experience had occurred. Whenever I looked at the BACB certificate registry, it appears this is just an error on the multiple supervisor form, that supervisor training did occur prior to the supervisor providing that supervision. So the question that I just had for the committee is, do we need that clerical error addressed on the multiple supervisor at one site form to reflect the appropriate date? So that would be what I move, is to have that one clerical error addressed. Again, it is on Julia Diebolt's section of the multiple supervisor at one site form. And then after that, I don't know of any concerns, and it can move forward to the full board for review.
Thank you. Okay, next application is Logan Ripley. Dr. Davis Wilson, you're the lead on that one.
Pushing all the wrong buttons. All right, Ms. Ripley passed her exam in March of 2021. She also completed the ASU online program, and that was completed in May of 2020. She did just over 2,000 hours between the periods of December 2018 and January 2021 across multiple supervisors in California where licensure is not required. I have reviewed this application and I do not have any concerns with the application and recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Thank you. Next application is Douglas Hatfield. Dr. Rates, you're the lead on that.
Yes. So this applicant received their BCBA certification in February of 2018. They also indicated that they are licensed in the state of Michigan. They completed a master's degree from Capella University in 2017, and supervision occurred at Centuria Health between September of 2016 and January of 2018 for a total of 1,689 hours. The only thing of note is just on the supervisor form, there is an NA, and that's because there was not licensure at the time that that supervision took place. So with that, I would say I did not have any concerns with this application and would recommend that it move forward.
Thanks. Next application is Kara Loomis. I'm going to lead on that. Ms. Loomis received her BCBA certificate in March of 2009. She graduated in August of 2007 from the Chicago School with a Master's of Arts in Clinical Psychology. She received 2,030.4 hours of supervision under multiple LBAs. Ms. Loomis, it appeared, was unable to complete the supervision completion form due to the 12-year gap between completing her hours and passing her supervisor, Dr. Mirbitz. She completed her hours while attending the Chicago School. The school provided a letter stating that she completed her fieldwork experience. But given the circumstance, I recommend that her application move forward with the documentation that we have. Since there is no other documentation and it's been well outside the 7 years it's required. Do any other committee members have any comments on that application?
My only comment, just because we do have applicants on the phone and as a learning opportunity, even though the BACB has a 7-year requirement, we don't have a statutory definition for that time frame. So I agree with you. Obviously, there's, you know, circumstances and ways we can access documentation. But I just want to make sure that for those that are listening, that they understand that although that is the BACB standard, as they, you know, if they do move state from state, which they shouldn't because Arizona is the best state to come work in anyway. But if they were to move from state to state, that they should be cautious of, you know, considering retaining those records beyond the 7 years, because there's no guarantee that each state statute will perfectly align with the BACB requirements.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Davis Wilson. That's an excellent point. So appreciate bringing that up. Okay, so next application is Claire Sterling. I need to note that I was one of Ms. Sterling's instructors while she was working on her master's. Are there any other disclosures for that?
Yep, I have a similar disclosure that I also was an instructor early on in her master's, and I'm comfortable moving forward with the review of this application.
Thank you. And Ms. Denton, you're the lead on that?
All right. Ms. Sterling passed her BCBA exam on June 11th of 2022. After graduating with a Master's of Science from Arizona State University, which I'm sure we could all kind of guess based on the recusals, She had her supervision ranging from October of 2020 until May of 2022 for a total of 1,591.5 hours, all completed by licensed behavior analysts in the state of Arizona. I don't have any concerns with this application. I didn't note any errors, and I would move that it goes forward to the full board.
Next application is Leslie Bennett. Dr. Davis-Wilson, you have the lead on that.
Yes, Ms. Bennett passed her exam in February of 2018. She completed a master's from the University of South Florida, and that was completed in December of 2017. She did do 1,500 hours in Florida, where licensure is not required, between August 6, 2016 to December of 2017. I reviewed this application and I do not have any concerns and would recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Thank you. Next application is Tracy Holmes. Ms. Holmes received her BCBA certificate in May of 2014. She graduated in December of 2011 from Texas Women's University with a Master's of Science in Kinesiology and earned her BA certificate Behavior Analyst certificate from University of North Texas in the spring of 2013. She received 1,500 hours of supervision under Jeff Skibitsky in Utah, which at the time did not require licensure. Ms. Holmes is also licensed in Texas as a behavior analyst and was in Utah with no disciplinary actions before that expired. I did not know any concerns with this application and recommend it move forward to the board for approval. All right, next application is Andrea Abernathy. Dr. Reitz, you're the lead on that?
Yes. This applicant received their BCBA certification in 2022. They completed a Master's of Arts degree at University Houston Clear Lake in May of 2022. Supervision occurred between September of 2019 and April of 2022 for a total of 1,508 hours across multiple locations in Texas. And all supervision did occur by a licensed BCBA. And all service did take place in Texas. So in looking at the application, I didn't see anything of concern and would recommend that it move forward.
Thank you. And I just know that Ms. Abernathy is on the call too. So thank you for attending. Appreciate it. Next application is Suhani Patel. Ms. Dent, you're the lead on that. And Ms. Patel is also present.
Absolutely. Ms. Patel passed her exam on April 28th of 2022 after graduating in September of 2021 with a Master of Science from the School of Social and Behavior Sciences at Capella University. Her supervision experience ranged from April of 2019 until April of 2022. She accrued 1,673 hours by a licensed behavior analyst in the state of Arizona who is in good standing. There are no concerns that I noted on this application and would recommend that it moves forward to the full board.
All right, great, thank you. All right, next application is Christy Lee. Dr. Reitz is recused from this application and I'm the lead on that. Ms. Lee received her BCBA certificate in July of 2022. She graduated in May of 2022 from the University of West Florida with a Master's of Arts in Exceptional Student Education and Applied Behavior Analysis. She received 2,014.36 hours of supervision under multiple Arizona licensed behavior analysts. I did note on page 8, the psychology board, multiple supervisors at one organization, that her supervision with, I don't have her last name, I'm sorry, Mariah, began in July of 2022 and ended in April 2022. So just a note of that. Also, Valeria Armendariz started in August of 2022, also ending in April of 2022. And then I also noted on page 9, of the BACB's multiple supervisor form that the supervision also began on July of, that one's okay. I'm gonna retract that one, but I did note on the multiple supervisors. So other than those, I would ask that that be clarified or corrected and then move forward to the board for approval. Next application is Amanda Fernandez. Ms. Dent, you're the lead on that.
Ms. Fernandez passed her exam on July 8th of 2022 after graduating with a Master's of Arts from the Teachers College at Ball State University in May of 2022. She received her supervision under multiple licensed behavior analysts in the state of Arizona, coming from Hope Ridge. Their supervision dates ranged from October 1st of 2020 until June 23rd of 2022. She accrued a total of 2,000.5 hours, meeting the statutory requirement in the state of Arizona. I do not have any concerns with this applicant or this application and would move that it goes forward to the full board.
And I also noted that Ms. Fernandez is also on the call, so appreciate you attending too. So, all right, next application is Emily Murray. Ms. Murray received her BCBA certificate in May of 2022. She graduated in August of 2014 from ASU with a Master's of Special Education and got her ABA certificate in August of 2017 from ASU as well. She received 1,571.65 hours of supervision under two Arizona licensed behavior analysts. I did not note any issues with this application and recommend it move forward to the board for approval. Okay, next application is, Fumi Horner. Dr. Reitz, you're the lead on that.
Yes, thank you. So this applicant received their BCBA certification in May of 2010. They completed a master's degree in 2008 and a PhD in behavior analysis in 2016 from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. The supervision that was noted occurred between 2008 and 2010. And there was an error on page while I scroll 17, where it indicated that supervision did occur by a licensed behavior analyst. Board staff did try to reach out to that supervisor twice to get that corrected because there was not licensure at that time. The only other thing that I noted was that supervisor's original certification date was 11/30/2009, but supervision began in June of 2008. So there seems to be a period of time there where supervision occurred, but the supervisor was not yet certified by the BACB. I don't know if other committee members are seeing that same discrepancy. It would be page 18 where we have the original certification date, but just above on page 16, you'll note that supervision started in June of 2008.
Yeah, Dr. Ace, I see that as well. So. Dr. Reitz, would you what's your suggestion to move forward with this application?
I think we need to get some clarification. I appreciate the challenges. We've already attempted to reach out to the supervisor to get some corrections for that. I think it would be important to see if there's other supervision or perhaps somebody else who provided supervision that we might be able to get hours from. So I'd suggest a letter. Do we know if the applicant is here?
Ms. Horner, are you on the line? I didn't see. I don't see her listed.
So yeah, I guess I would recommend a letter go out to get some clarity around that time gap, and see if there's, if that is in case, in fact, the case, is there additional supervision that could be provided to account for that time?
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, next application is Ashley Nagash. Dr. Davis Wilson, you're the lead on that.
Yes, so Ms. Nagash passed her exam in June of 2021. She is licensed in good standing in Texas since June of 2022. She completed her degree in 2019 from National University. She did 1,500 hours in California from August 2019 to August 2020. I do not see any issues with her application. I would recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Great. Thank you. Next application is Lauren Drake. Ms. Dent, you're the lead on that. I am actually recused from this application.
Ms. Drake passed her exam on April 18th of 2022 after graduating from the University of Washington in June of 2012 with a Master's of Education in Early Childhood Special Education from the University of Washington. She did need to continue on to ASU to complete a couple of courses for her verified course sequence, which she completed in August of 2016. Her supervision dates ranged from August of 2020 until September of 2021. This did occur by a licensed behavior analyst in the state of Arizona. The amount of hours accrued over this time span did not exceed the requirements for the BACB for that 130, given the exact dates of supervision were provided by the applicant, so that is appreciated. It's also noted that this applicant holds a early childhood special education teaching certificate. There are no past disciplinary actions for that certification. Overall, I did not note any concerns with the application, and would move that it goes forward to the full board.
Okay, thank you. Next application is Andrea Hatfield. I am the lead on that. Ms. Hatfield received her BCBA certificate in February of 2019. She graduated in September of 2018 from Capella University with Master's of Science in Psychology and emphasis in applied behavior analysis. She received 1,502.5 hours of supervision under two BCBAs in Michigan, Mr. Brum and Mr. Payne, which is found on page 12 of the PDF, and a third, Brittany Sabo, who signed the ABOPE, sorry, the Arizona Board of Psychologists Examiners fieldwork verification. According to Arizona statute 32-2091.08.A.2, if the experience was obtained in a state that licensed behavior analysts at the time of the supervised work experience, the supervisor must be licensed in the state where behavior analysis training services were provided. I noted that none of the supervisors were licensed in Michigan until 2019. And again, the, which was after the supervision experience of November 19 of 2017 to December of 2018 when it ended. Michigan required licensure beginning in 2016, and it doesn't appear this applicant meets a statute requirement for licensure at this time. But I'd like to open that up to my other committee members to if they have other applicants about this application. Okay, just to throw this out, what are there some other options here available for this, or should we send a FAIR asking for clarification of why this application, why this application meets the requirements, otherwise, according to the statute, it does not meet the requirements, so.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, I don't have the chart in front of me that lists the states the enacted dates for their requirements. Are you looking at a date, the date that you reported, is that the date that licensure became required, or just when the statutory authority to require licensure was enacted?
That's a great question. I pulled up the BACB's website and went to the state and pulled up licensure, and it indicated 2016. So.
Okay. Let me, if you'll indulge me, I can look at the chart and see if that informs us at all. If Dr. Davey were here, he's licensed in Michigan and he would know the answer. Okay, so here's what I'm seeing from Michigan on the chart. You're right, the legislation was passed in 2016. The effective date requiring licensure is January 7, 2020.
Okay, so then everything that I just said, we can toss. And I recommend that it move forward to the board for approval. Well, not everything. All the good stuff, keep, and the stuff that was a problem, strike that.
I got that.
Okay. All right. Okay. So then, given that, I recommend that it move forward to the board for approval. All right. Thank you. Thanks, Ms. Packenham. All right, next application is Caitlin Arnold. Ms. Arnold is seeking licensure through universal recognition. And without going through all the details, she did check that she is not a resident in Arizona. And according to statute, she does not qualify for universal for recognition. So I recommend that maybe Ms. Arnold withdraw her application and apply through some other means, the typical means of applying for licensure. So.
Or alternatively, would you deny her application? Recommend?
Yes. That? Yeah, I recommend a denial due to not meeting the requirements of being an Arizona resident. Under universal recognition.
Mr. Chair, I do have a question that has only now occurred to me. Obviously, she's reflected on her application, she's not a resident. We have recently reviewed applications where there was a future residency date and documentations supported, substantiated that fact. And I think my question is for Ms. Galvin. If the applicant were to provide us with evidence in response to our communication to her, our fair to her, if she were to say, oh, I am moving to Arizona and here's the documentation to reflect that, what would that mean to this application process? Am I making sense?
So she submitted documentation that shows that the move is pending or in progress. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. If she were to, for instance, send to us, you know, evidence that she has a lease agreement effective, I'll pick an arbitrary date, October 1.
Yeah. I think what we did in the past was hold that application until, you know, her arrival. That's my recollection, that it would be tabled until she was here and arrived here.
Okay. So if it's the committee's pleasure, we can include that advisory in the FAIR letter, that is also an option. The FAIR, the withdrawal and reapply, or provide us with convincing evidence of, you know, residency, at which time, you know, we'll reconsider the application.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Ms. Packenham, she did supply a letter stating that she was not interested in moving out here. She supplied a letter stating that she is just helping support the AZ team remotely.
Okay. Then cancel that that option. Thank you.
So then it would be informing her to either voluntarily withdraw or it would be denied.
And can we suggest that she apply through, I guess, the standard means, if we want to say it that way?
I think, Mr. Chair, what we would, the way we would want to frame that is there's an alternative application process you could consider. I do want to steer clear of, recommending or suggesting, even just because it could be inferred that you don't qualify this way, but we'll make sure you do the other way. So we would just want to make sure it was clear that she there is an alternative. She would have to meet those requirements in the process.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's see. Next application is Jana Goldberg, and I did note that Ms. Goldberg is on the line. Dr. Davis-Wilson, you're the lead on that.
Yeah, thank you. So Ms. Goldberg is applying for universal recognition, and she did supply for us proof of residency. I did note that question number 12 was left blank, which was related to affiliation with military. As far as being eligible for universal recognition, she is relocating from California and states that she does have an active license in California effective February 2015. However, California does not have licensure. And so I would recommend, similar to the application before, that we give Ms. Goldberg the opportunity to withdraw her application, explore other means of licensure, and or the application, the universal application, will have to be denied.
Thank you, Dr. Davis. Okay, so can we have a summary of the outcomes and the recommendations, then from there we'll go ahead and make a motion. So would somebody mind providing that?
I could try.
Thank you, Ms. Galvin.
According to my notes, you are recommending approval for applicant number 1, Martinez, number 3, Hassani, number 4, Robinson, number 5, Therese Bonilla, number 6, number 7, Marino, number 8, Cook, 9, Padilla, 10, Ripley, 11, Hatfield, 12, Loomis, 13, Sterling, 14, Bennett, 15, Holmes, 16, Abernathy, 17, Pinnell, 18, Lee, assuming the typos with respect to the dates of experience are fixed, number 19, Fernandez, number 20, Murray, number 22, Nagash, number 23, Drake, and 24, Hatfield. Number 2 would be either a deny or withdrawal because that person is short 750 hours. And number 21, Horner, is a denial or withdrawal. And under section B, 1 and 2, number 1 does not qualify because she is not a resident here, does not intend to move here. And number 2 would be a deny or withdrawal because she does not hold a license in California because licensure is not available in California.
All right. Great.
Ms. Galvin's summary reflects what I captured with one exception. Applicant 21, Horner, I noted that the committee was looking for a fair in that instance.
Okay.
You want to reconcile that difference?
I'll trust your notes.
Does the committee remember it as a fair as well? Dr. Rates is the lead.
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So with that, do we have a motion on these applications?
I had no recusals at all, so moved.
Okay. All right. And let's see. Oh, yes. Yeah, we had a few recusals there. So,
Ms. Galvin, can someone who's recused still offer a second, even though the minutes reflect where the recusals?
We have to. We have no other choice because everyone else is recused on one or another. Okay. So that's fine.
Okay. Thanks, Ms. Denton, for not recusing on anything this time. All right, so I'll second that. So any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right, next, I'm going to change the order of the agenda a little bit. Agenda item number 7, we will address that at this time first, and then we will come back to agenda item number 6. So agenda item number 7 is discussion, consideration, possible action regarding supervision documentation submitted by Amanda Kelly for the application of Jamie Scarfield. Ms. Pakenham, would you summarize that for us?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The committee had previously reviewed the application of Jamie Scourfield that occurred on June 30th of 2022. I provided in your memorandum a summary of the outcome of that substantive review, which included a request to invite the former supervisor of Ms. Scourfield, Ms. Amanda Kelly, to this meeting to continue the review of the application, but to clarify some questions and some concerns. As you had identified some discrepancies with respect to content that had been initially submitted, and then some inconsistencies with some follow-up documentation that was subsequently submitted along with a FAIR. I think Ms. Kelly is here. Did I see her tile earlier? I know she had agreed. Oh, maybe I don't. She had agreed to be present, and I supplied her with meeting access details, but I actually don't see her unless she's the dial-in number that ends in 548. Well, it seems that she is not present, although I know she had affirmed that she would be here. Maybe the applicant, Jamie Scarfield, who is present, maybe she has some insights that she can offer.
I believe that she was supposed to join. I don't see her on as well either. I would like to possibly withdraw the hours from Dr. Amanda Kelly, if possible, because I think I misunderstood the information of basically her and I had an employee relationship, and I did accrue hours with her, but not for the BCBA. It was just after my certification, I wanted to supply hours that I had done 1500 hours with the supervisor, but I think I misunderstood the documentation and it wouldn't have counted towards the 1500 hours from the board.
I can provide some clarification. So because we're on the agenda item for speaking with Dr. Kelly, the request to talk to Dr. Kelly was related to the signing of forms and answering questions. So we've already made a determination that those hours from Dr. Kelly will not count. However, we have further requested to speak with Dr. Kelly because we wanted to seek clarification related to the actual document that was signed by Dr. Kelly, because there was inconsistencies between what was signed and by Dr. Kelly versus what was provided to us in writing when we followed up.
And so that is one of that was why we were hoping to speak with Miss with Dr. Kelly. But we have already made a decision on those hours, and those hours will not count. That decision was made at the last meeting. We're now just having a discussion. I'd like to have a discussion with Dr. Kelly, but she's not here. We could move on to the next agenda item, Mr. Chair, which the next agenda item, you know, would be to review what hours and the circumstances of Ms. Scarfield's application.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and do that then.
Would it be possible while we discuss this other agenda item, if staff could try to reach out to Ms. Kelly to see if we could get her to appear?
I've issued a reminder that she had agreed to be here, so I'm just waiting for a response.
Did you issue her a subpoena or was this an invitation?
An invitation.
I'm going to throw this out. Would anybody like a comfort break at this time? And if so, we could take a 10-minute comfort break until approximately 10:40, reconvene, but also in the meantime, take a look at Ms. Scarfield's application in regard to the hours. Is that agreeable to everybody?
And also, Mr. Chair, this is the perfect time for Zakiya Malice to offer a code word as well before we break.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Yes. For this meeting, the code word is vacation. The first code word is vacation.
All right. Thanks, Ms. Malice. We go on break and we'll reconvene at 10:40.
I responded to the email exchange that with Dr. Kelly from back on July 6th. She confirmed her attendance and I supplied the meeting access instructions. I did receive just a short time ago an automatic reply that she is out and she won't be back until Monday. So I don't think we can expect her to be here.
Okay. Okay, so we're reviewing hours, and you know, from what I saw in the application, there's currently 1,000 hours. Is that where everybody else stands?
Mr. Chair, we are not on that agenda item yet. Still on the one with Dr. Kelly, and I think that the next step, because we did, I think you missed the meeting last time, but we did at the last meeting determine that Dr. Kelly's hours would not count. But again, had continued concerns with what has, you know, been reported to the board. I would like to suggest that we go ahead and subpoena the appearance of Dr. Kelly, and then we'll just follow our normal process after the subpoena to you know, make a decision at that time as to what we want to do.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So is there, since that discussion has already occurred, is there any reason to address agenda item number 6 at this point?
Yes, because there are two. The agenda item number 7 was related to the discrepancies between the documents from Dr. Kelly. Agenda item 6 is the application review for the applicant.
Okay. All right. So let's move to agenda item number 6 then and have that discussion on the application. And Dr. Davis Wilson, you're listed as the lead on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me switch my notes over. So Ms. Scarfield applied for licensure in the state of Arizona. Upon application, we did note that she had been she completed 1,000 hours towards certification and that she had been a BCBA for quite some time.
So we were seeking additional information as to the nature of the supervision experience that took place after she was certified. We did receive a response both from Dr. Kelly as well as the applicant, stating that Dr. Kelly did state that there was supervision that did occur, and then further clarified later that the supervision was more employment in nature, every 30, 60, 90, twice a year type employment supervision, and not necessarily supervision that met the requirements of the BACB. During the last meeting, we did determine that Dr. Kelly's hours would not count towards the 1500 hours. And we did a review of Mr. Blakely's hours. Mr. Blakely, on his supervised experience form, indicated that he did not observe the applicant every 2 weeks engaging in behavior analytic activity. So we did request some explanation from the applicant as to whether or not the BACB standards were met. The applicant has supplied from us additional documentation from supervisors, each of which it appears that the university and the practicum program had multiple supervisors involved. And that the 1,000 hours was done between the three supervisors in some capacity, but that because this was done so long ago, the breakdown of the hours per supervisor is not available. In review of the documentation, I think that it does provide clarification. It seems that Dr. Blakely may have been the overviewing supervisor who signed off on the entire experience, which is why he could have indicated that he personally did not observe her every 2 weeks. We have since received two additional forms from individuals that said, yes, during that time we did observe. So I think there was just some confusion in how to fill out that form as a representative. And in reviewing the forms for that 1,000 hours for all three supervisors, I'm not concerned. I think it makes more sense now in the way that it has been outlined. And so the 1,000 hours would be able to count moving forward, and that the 500 hours would need to be completed before we can move forward with the application. Now for the 500 hours, I want to be very clear that this isn't an employment arrangement, that the 500 hours would have to be done under today's BACB supervision standards. So they would have to meet today's requirements, which include the contract for supervision and then the breakdown of hours that are outlined by the BACB for the Task List 5 and 2022 standards. But if that can be done, then I think the applicant could supply this to the board for additional consideration. On that same note, I was really hoping to hear from Dr. Kelly, because I'm very concerned about the inconsistencies in reporting and kind of what information has been provided to the board versus what actually happened. And I do think that the discussion with Dr. Kelly could play a role in how we move forward with this application. But I think because for now, we can't move forward with the application anyway, because it's short 500 hours, I think that we make the additional attempt to contact Dr. Kelly or to bring Dr. Kelly forward. And then we have Ms. Scourfield work to complete the 500 hours, and board staff can give timelines as to whether it would be more appropriate to withdraw the application and reapply, or if it would be more appropriate to hold the application so that she can finish those hours and submit those hours once she gets an opportunity to do so. Yeah, I think that's all I had. Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
I think somebody else. Yeah, I. Yeah, I think those are good options. Or is there any other discussion from the other committee members? Okay. So, Dr. Davis Wilson, would you say your proposal then is for Ms. Garfield to gain the additional 500 hours, and then or at least attempt to start working on those, and then in the meantime, as we gain more information from Dr. Kelly, things may change.
Well, I think obtaining the 500 hours is necessary for licensure. And so I think going and completing those would most definitely be beneficial for the applicant. She is here, she is here. I don't know if we want to hear from her as well.
Yes, I actually have signed a contract with, I am employed with Hope Bridge, and I have signed a contract with two LBAs here, and I have started to work on those hours because I wasn't sure what you guys would come back with and say. So I went ahead and started following the BACB's guidelines for accumulating more hours. So I am on that track.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I think from here, it's just a matter of, from board staff for your guys' timeframes to just work with the applicant to see, timeframe-wise, what is most beneficial. And then once she has the 500 hours, we'll be able to see this application again.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Dr. Davis Wilson, we will calculate all of the timeframes, the extensions that are available, and provide the applicant with that information so she can track her progress and ascertain whether she'll be able to complete them by the terminal point of that the application process affords her.
Thank you.
Then I will turn mine into a motion to direct board staff to come up with those numbers and to allow for the applicant to remain with the open application if the timeline permits and or withdraw her application if needed. And this will be a recommendation for, I don't know, Ms. Galvin, if we are going to allow her to withdraw, does that need to go to full board?
It would not need to go to the board. So I think staff has heard your desire instructions, has heard what Ms. Scourfield is doing, and they can work together to decide whether to send back to you or hold it open until she completes the hours.
Perfect. Well, I did make that into a motion, so I don't know if we want to vote on it or if we were okay with me just removing it as a remotion.
I think a motion is fine.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. Opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, can I just interject really quickly? I, of course, heard the direction that you gave to me to issue the subpoena to compel Dr. Kelly's attendance at a future meeting. Does that require a motion, Ms. Galvin, or can I just accept their direction?
I think you can accept their direction.
Thank you.
All right. Just to confirm, do we have any further need to discuss agenda item number 6? Okay, we made the motion and voted on that. Agenda item number 7, we've given direction to board staff on how we'd like to move forward with that. Okay. All right. Let's move on then. Agenda item number 9, a discussion. We're going to go to agenda number 8, discussion, consideration, possible action regarding potential unlicensed supervision provided by Lauren Allegra. Ms. Packham, would you summarize that for us?
Yes, Mr. Chair. This concerns an application that the committee reviewed back in December of 2021. The application reflected that the applicant, Ms. Nguyen, she had completed all of her supervised experience in Arizona. However, 95 hours of that supervision was conducted remotely by Lauren Allegra, who is a BCBA in Colorado. Ms. Allegra has never been licensed in Arizona, and so was clearly not providing licensed supervision for those 95 hours. There was some delay in reaching out to Ms. Allegra to inquire into this further, as the committee had directed me to do, and much of that had to do, I believe, with Ms. Allegra changing employment, changing employers in Colorado, where she remains. However, we did, I was able to exchange correspondence with her, and we did secure her agreement to come here today to provide the clarification that you've requested. She provided a written explanation. I've also provided the application that you reviewed, and then I provided some statutory and rule citations that I believe will inform your review of this matter. And I see Ms. Allegra has turned on her camera. Thank you for attending. Do you have any questions for me, committee members? Okay. Very good. Then I think you can proceed with Ms. Allegra. Maybe invite her to provide an overview of the response that she shared with me to provide to you.
Sure. Ms. Allegra, would you please go ahead with that?
This was with my former employer, Ascend Behavior Partners, as you mentioned, Heidi. I stopped working for them about a year ago in July 2021, so sorry for any delays in communication there. The instance that you're mentioning took place in the fall of 2020, around October 2020, right when we were in the midst of COVID being at kind of its height there, and a lot of lockdown situations and difficulty with staffing. I was working for Ascend in Colorado, and we also had an additional branch in Arizona. And we had a BCBA that left the company, and I was asked by my employer to remotely supervise a case for less than a month. I provided some details of the supervision that I gave. It was all 97155, 97156, and non-billable case management sessions, totaling 15 sessions across 11 separate days. To my knowledge at the time, obviously I've never lived in Arizona. I have not been licensed in Arizona. My employer asked me to do this and knew that I wasn't licensed in Arizona. And they made it seem to me as if this was okay. Based off of some combination of the code that I mentioned here, it sounds like because it didn't exceed 20 days in a year, I think hopefully that it was okay because it didn't exceed 20 days per year. It also sounded like because of COVID-19 and just restrictions and everything, the entire intent here by my employer was to make sure that the case was getting continuous supervision in the best way possible. I don't think the intention was ever to mislead anyone or to misrepresent ourselves. We let the client know that I would be supervising remotely from Colorado and that it would only be for a really short temporary period of time. This was never something that I asked for. I didn't really want to remotely supervise, as we all know that that's a little bit more difficult, and just it was something that I think we were doing to fill a need for a short period of time that was asked of me by my supervisors, and I think does fall within that code there of being less than 20 days in a year. I will never do it again. I don't intend to misrepresent myself in any way. Let me know if you have any other questions. Sorry, I feel like I'm rambling a little bit. I've never done one of these before.
Well, thank you for being here to do it, although probably somewhat awkward and uncomfortable. But any questions for Ms. Allegra?
Mr. Chair, I have no questions, but I do have just a couple of comments. First and foremost, thank you so much for being here. You know, it is never fun to, you know, get the phone call or an email like, hey, can you please come and speak to a body of your peers that are, you know, in regulation, in a state that you were just trying to do good. and so again, we appreciate you being here. I want to just comment on, I do agree that probably by the nature of, so when obviously when we get the applications, we don't see how many days it was. So the information you've supplied, the 11 days, that makes a lot of sense. Except for one of the things that I just want to bring as a consideration is that when we are billing like health insurance, the technicians are working under us all of the time. So even though we're only billing for the hour that we're supervising, the technician is still technically providing services under the nature of us being licensed. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's a matter of, let's say this wasn't just, you know, a single month emergent. I think we could probably look at the information you've given and have one thing. Let's say this was across 4 months and you only supervise every other week. So yeah, you're going to have 8 days of supervision, but that technician is reliant on your license to be able to practice. Do you know what I mean? And so that's across 4 months. And so I just want to make sure that that's thrown out there, one for other folks that are on the call, but two is just a point of clarification that yes, although your services may have only been those 11 days, the ability for that tech to even provide any service is directly related. Like we can't even contract with, you know, health plans and whatnot without that, at least here in Arizona, I know in multiple state contracts that looks different. So I just wanted to bring that up as just kind of a food for thought point of discussion. And, you know, just provide that clarification just as a fellow BCBA, that we are responsible obviously for those tech days of service as well. So that month, especially had it been prolonged, could have been extremely problematic with the setting. And then just the ultimate, you know, just again, piece of feedback is even if a company or an organization says, hey, you need to do this, or can you do this? It is on the onus of the individual practitioner to know the state laws in which they practice. And so if you were to be faced with this again, just making sure that you're aware of what the state laws are, where you practice. But those are, you know, just two thoughts that came to mind as I was listening to the presentation. And then that is all I had to say.
Thank you, Dr. Davis-Holston. Any further comments or from the committee? Okay. So, hearing none, what are the options of this agenda item moving forward then?
Mr. Chair, I think what I'm hearing the committee would like to do is just to simply take no action with respect to this matter. It's not a complaint. It's not an investigation. So if that's where you're going with this resolution, then I believe all you need to do is declare we will take no action. Is that correct, Ms. Galvin?
That is correct, if that's the desire of the committee.
Do we need a vote on that, or can we just state that?
I would recommend a vote to take no action.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to take no action. Can I have a second on that?
I will second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right. Ms. Allegra, again, I mentioned this earlier, but thank you for being here. It's much appreciated. And yeah, so thank you for doing that for us and for the community too.
Thank you, everybody. And thank you for all your feedback and notes. I think that's really helpful just to know moving forward. And I'll definitely keep that in mind wherever I'm working. So thank you, guys.
All right, great. Okay, next item, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding recent updates from the Behavior Analyst Certification Board. Ms. Pakanon.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The BACB supplied a few updates relative to recently enacted legislation regulating behavior analysts in Illinois, Georgia, and Wyoming, and also some modification of the Practice Act in New York State. The communication also describes some recent litigation in which the BACB is engaged. That isn't so much a regulatory topic as I think just a general FYI for stakeholders who may be interested in some of those topics. I do think that the compromising of the items on the RBT examination, that really is more of a regulatory issue. As I see it, there are some widely publicized instances of high stakes entrance examinations being compromised, and it seems that the BACB has also fallen victim to this issue. So happy to answer any questions, but this is the only update that has been supplied since your last meeting.
Any questions for Ms. Pakanon? Okay. All right, hearing none, move on to agenda number 10, discussion, consideration, possible action regarding notice of final rulemaking for the administrative rules. Ms. Pakanon.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The finish line is in sight. Recently, the board reviewed the one public comment that was received to the proposed rulemakings. There are two separate packages, one specific to the behavior analyst rules and then another specific to the psychologist rules. So this comment, as I mentioned before, the single comment received was to R426207, the psychologist continuing education rule. The commenter felt that the rule or the additional language inserted into the rule, which establishes a diversity continuing education requirement, the commenter wanted to see that language broadened to include other examples or other instances of diversity topics. The board agreed with the commenter and elected to apply the same suggested change to the behavior analyst rule, R426409. So we've provided the Governor's Regulatory Review Council with an explanation of how this is a non-substantive change to the published rule, the published rulemaking. And so we expect that this will be reviewed by the Governor's Regulatory Review Council on September 7th. So from a timing perspective, I think that is quite good. So I don't know whether GRC, the Regulatory Review Council, will ultimately approve the packages on September 7th, but I will keep you apprised of how that review process plays out. Do you have any questions about the change that was applied to your rule? I don't know if Dr. Davis Wilson wants to speak to that at all, since, of course, she was there for the board discussion that resulted in this change.
I think your summary was spot on.
Thank you.
Um,
Oh, what I didn't say, I'm sorry, was that if GIRC approves the rule packages on September 7th, the changes are in effect about 60 days later. The changes go to the Secretary of State for publication in the Arizona Register. From publication date, we count 60 days out for the changes. And so what that, of course, will compel staff to do is to publish the new rules on our website. And we will also send a bulletin to licensees informing them that there have been a series of rule changes, and so they should go and review them at their earliest opportunity.
I did have a question. So there's a requirement of 4 hours, minimum 4 hours of continuing ed for ethics, and then the item number two, I won't read the whole thing, but is there guidance on how that might be split up, or is it just that there needs to be something included for each and one could be three and the other could be one, you know, something like that?
Mr. Chair, the way I read the rule, there will need to be 4 hours completed in ethics plus 4 hours in any diversity topic. Oh, are you asking about the examples of diversity?
Sorry. Well, I'm reading about each. So a minimum of 4 hours of continuing ed during addressing each. Okay, so it's four of ethics and then four of diversity. Okay.
Correct. And so, but the documentation that we review, what it may reflect is that, you know, there were 2 hours in, you know, race, ethnicity, and 2 hours in income equality or something to that effect. So I think there's quite a bit of latitude within subsection 2A2 to have take coursework or complete continuing education activities that span several of those topics.
I see. I'm going through my ethics CEs right now, and some of the asynchronous things provided overlap. So the ethics and diversity are overlapping. Has the state advised on that? Because a lot of the modules that exist out there are considered ethics, but include the area of diversity. So how might that be addressed? Or do we have that answer?
Mr. Chair, that may need to be vetted by the audit committee. The audit committee has been inactive for quite some time, mostly having to do with the fact that we are switching from one management system to another. Our new system is not as developed as we had hoped it would be with respect to capturing reported continuing education. So we're sort of at a place where we don't know if we're going to continue to do paper-based audits. We were trying to get away from them. We were trying to integrate this process into the system. But if the system isn't capturing our requirements effectively, then we're sort of stuck. So we give a great deal of deference, you know, to the committee's review whenever someone is audited. And then, of course, that goes forward to the board. So these might be issues that the committee and the board have to vet out. I'm not certain. If we had Ms. Poe here, she may be able, she's coordinated the work of the audit committee for a number of years. She may have better insights than me.
Yeah. Well, and I'd also contend that it would be impossible to separate one and two to an extent anyway, because understanding of diversity and acting accordingly is ethical.
And
Ms. Galvin.
And I think it's going to be up to the licensee and how to categorize them, so long as you're not double dipping. Sounds like some of the courses you are reading could qualify for either.
That's fairly standard.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, at least on the BACB side, those ethics include diversity training. I think unless the BACB changes, and I'm sure there is movement that way, but there is going to be some, you know, there's going to be additional requirements, I guess, imposed on at least Arizona licensed behavior analysts to make sure that you're taking titles and content that relate to specifically to diversity. You could walk away with 8 CEs of diversity, and 4 could count as ethics and 4 could count as diversity. So it's just there. I'm going to say it this way. It's very Venn-like. There is overlap.
And Mr. Chair, we run into that right now with the supervision CEs as well.
Yeah.
And I do believe that the BACB is going to also be adding a diversity CE requirement. And so if and when they do, it'll make a little bit more sense. But just like the supervision and ethics, it does like clearly say you can count it for either or. But it's up to either the person issuing the certificate to designate it, or up to the certificants to be able to provide the objectives to justify why they counted it as they did.
Sure. Okay. All right. Any other questions or comments on that item?
Hi, I just joined. This is Dr. Amanda Kelly here. I accidentally missed the meeting time from earlier, and I just got an email from Heidi, I believe, asking if I could join. So I just jumped on as soon as possible.
Okay. All right. Are we okay? Is there any issue with us addressing agenda item number 7?
No, you may reopen.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Galvin, are there any concerns in doing so because the applicant left the meeting, or can we still address the agenda item in the applicant's absence?
Yeah, this relates more to Ms. Kelly than the applicant. Okay. So I would feel that it's fine to move ahead.
Thank you. Perfect.
Okay, great. Okay, so let's hold off. Anything else related to agenda item number, where are we at? Number 10, yeah. Any other comments on that before we move on? Okay. All right. So, agenda item number 7, discussion, consideration, possible action regarding supervision documentation submitted by, Amanda Kelly for the application of Jamie Scourfield. Dr. Kelly, thanks for attending. Appreciate it.
My sincere apologies that I missed my time slot. I'm actually on vacation, and I genuinely, it just slipped my mind, so I apologize.
Well, thank you for that. Ms. Pakanon, would you mind summarizing that for us?
Yes. So we had, I'd received direction from the Committee on Behavior Analysts to reach out to Dr. Kelly to explain what the committee found with respect to information that was submitted initially for the application of Jamie Scourfield, and then subsequent or in response to a first additional request for information letter. That documentation seems to be in conflict or contradictory to what was initially supplied. And this could not be reconciled without inviting Dr. Kelly to come and speak to it and to address your questions and to provide clarity, because the documentation, you know, reflects one thing, but it may not present the entire picture that you need. So that, I believe, is what will help you direct your questions to her.
All right, thank you. Committee, any questions for Dr. Kelly?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I had just a couple. The first one that I had was, if you think back to kind of the nature of how you were asked to sign this form, what was the request that that the applicant made to you as far as signing this form?
The applicant let me know that, I mean, she left Firefly and I knew she was moving to Arizona, and she let me know that there were documentation forms that I needed to sign to verify her experience such that she would be able to get her licensure in Arizona.
Okay. And when you reviewed the form, so the initial application form did ask things like, did the supervision meet these supervision standards of the BACB? It also asked if you observed the applicant engaging in behavior analytic activities at least once every 2-week period. You had answered yes to those questions, but then subsequently followed up in a letter that said, no, you guys had, the third question was related to no more than 50% of that time being spent in a group. You had answered yes to all three of those questions, but then sent a follow-up stating that, no, you did group supervision, I believe it was a clinical meeting monthly, and then did it, you know, employee check-ins or reviews on a periodic basis. Can you explain to me kind of the discrepancy in the two documents that were supplied?
Absolutely. I apologize. I must have the letter submitted is accurate. So I was the director of home-based services at the time. And Jamie and I have to also just really clarify this. We've worked together for almost 10 years. So it's really difficult to pinpoint exactly how and when. I mean, we've had lots and lots of overlaps and experience, and we most certainly worked on clients together. But in the general run of how I ran my team, we would meet as a team bi-week. Well, first of it was weekly for years, and then we changed it to bi-weekly. So I would say, in a very general sense of the everything, that the letter is more accurate. And I apologize for the mistake on the form.
Thank you. Those were the only questions that I had.
Other questions from the committee? Okay. All right. What are some options what are some options that you all would like to consider, if any, at this point?
I mean, I can start deliberations. I reviewed the state statute, and of course we don't have any regulatory authority specifically with regard to Dr. Kelly. I guess my concern still remains that, and this is probably more of just a discussion, but my concern remains that we have an individual who didn't meet licensure requirements, who reached out to a supervisor, said, hey, fill out this form so that I can meet the requirements. The supervisor filled out the form with information that was not accurate. And had we not caught it, we would have moved forward with licensing somebody that didn't meet the requirements for licensure. And I think that when it comes down to, I mean, and obviously given the caveat that we've sat on this board, I visit these conversations on a regular basis, but I think it's very simple. When asked, did you provide BACB supervision to this candidate? I struggle with where the confusion was. Yes, I understand that there was employment arrangements. I understand that directors have, supervision time.
But there was no contract. There was no, all of the standards that have been in place since 2014. So this was an attestation beyond 2014. Contracts have been required. The standards have been the same, minus the number of hours and that stuff that just changed this last year. But I guess for me, I still just remain concerned with how easy it was for both the applicant and for the supervisor to just sign this form attesting to services that were not provided. I get that it's, I understand that mistakes happen. I understand that especially in a state where licensure isn't required, which Colorado doesn't have licensure requirements, I understand that it's different to try to interpret those licensing requirements. But I personally struggle with, you were asked, did you provide BACB supervision to this candidate? And the answer was yes, when that really wasn't the answer. So as far as other than just like the discussion and the cautionary, like these are serious matters because these are forms that, you know, are legal in nature when they get to the regulatory process, when the applicant's submitting it to the state for approval to practice, they're binding documents. And so, I mean, the discussion just simply of like, if you don't know, ask before you sign away something, or you're not sure, or something doesn't seem right, or you can't articulate it. I mean, at one point, board staff asked the applicant, do you have your supervision logs? And she said, no, I don't have, from Dr. Kelly. And she says, no, I don't have those anymore. And it's like, okay, is that I feel like there was some information that has been presented to us that almost seems to be a little bit of misleading, because there wasn't like we didn't have logs because that's not what the supervision looked like. No, the response was, oh, I don't have the logs anymore. And so nonetheless, I think it's all just more of discussion points. I'm not sure, and I'll open it up for other committee members. I'm not sure there's anything further that could be done. I'm not even sure that it rises to a level of reporting it to the BACB. I mean, I guess that would be the only option available to us, would be to forward it to the BACB for their review or FYI. But I think it's more of just the stern kind of talking to other behavior analysts that really have to be cautious on how we move forward with this stuff.
Other comments, questions?
Y'all make me sound so mean.
Well,
I mean, you speak Dr. so well Davis, for all of us.
Yeah, Dr. Davis Wilson. I mean, yeah, I'm kind of on the same page. Not kind of. I am on the same page. One of the concern is that there is some documents signed that, you know, that are fairly straightforward. And so that's a concern, that it just, there seems to, the discrepancy there seems to be kind of concerning to me as well. That's the only comments I have. I mean, without iterating everything you said, that's kind of where I stand too. I would like to go to executive session for legal counsel. I'd like to throw that motion out there. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. On any discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. We'll go to executive session. Ms. Malice, just really quick, can we, can you provide another code word for the attendance?
I can, Dr. Stenhoff. The next word is sunscreen. Code word is sunscreen. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All right. We're back in session. Any further comments at this point, or any further deliberation? Okay. Do we have a motion? Do we have a motion of how we might move forward with this?
Mr. Chair, you know, I go back to this is, we've seen this a couple of times coming up as a pattern. Obviously, they're all still in their own process in their own way. And I'm just struggling with whether the intentional or non-intentional actions led to misrepresentation to this board. And I'm thinking back to other, not similar cases, but other times that we've had similar types of conversations. And, you know, ultimately, because it's out of our hands, like I said, the biggest thing, the only thing that we could do was just share our, you know, recommended full board that we share our findings with the BACB, just as a share of findings, it wouldn't be opening any complaints. And then we've at least kind of adjudicated and finished our, you know, our professional and obligations related to the matter. But again, I open that up for discussion with the committee.
Any further discussion?
I mean, Mr. Chair, I, for the purpose of not making Dr. Davis Wilson sound as though she is mean, I would say that I agree with Dr. Davis Wilson. You know, whenever we are looking through this and we are finding something, it does appear to be something that is, you know, that probable cause where we are looking through this and we're seeing, you know, that we have done our part to pass it along, to make sure that we do set the expectation that accurate reporting to a state regulatory board is taken care of.
Any other comments? Okay, then let's, then I think we need to put forth a motion. Does somebody have a motion?
Take a stab at that, and committee members can add or change, but I think the motion is to move this to the board with the recommendation that it be sent to the BACB for further review, given the concerns related to the documentation that was completed and follow-up information that we got today.
I would second that.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. And board staff, did you get Dr. Reitz's motion? Okay.
Yes, Mr. Chair. So we will inform you, Dr. Kelly, of when this matter will be presented to the Board of Psychologist Examiners. The Committee on Behavior Analysts is an advisory committee to the board. Ultimately, only the board has the authority to do any sort of adjudication or take any actions.
Okay. Mr. Chair, may I request previously the board had voted, the committee had voted to issue a subpoena to Dr. Kelly and reset the matter. So could we rescind that motion as being moot?
Do we have a motion for that?
I think we just directed board staff.
You're right. You're true. That's true.
Okay. All right. So,
but yes, staff. I would resend our recommendation to board staff to issue a subpoena. I don't think a subpoena is necessary, and I appreciate Dr. Kelly jumping on as soon as she could.
All right. Dr. Kelly, thank you for attending. And as board staff indicated, they'll be letting you know kind of the next steps of where we're moving. Okay.
Okay. Am I allowed to say anything?
Ms. Galvin, is that?
It's up to you.
Okay. Yeah. Feel free. But we'll keep it at 5 minutes or shorter. Okay.
I just wanted to say that I truly do appreciate this. I truly apologize for my error. I'm a very ethical behavior analyst. I would never knowingly submit false documentation. I never have. I've never, ever, had any issues whatsoever. I appreciate your process and I understand your process. I do definitely believe that I felt obvious. So not only am I not from America, I've never worked in a state with state licensure. So I really don't understand the process, didn't understand the process. So I think just maybe lack of clarity around that was the issue. But I just want to say that I appreciate your process. I understand it and I apologize.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Okay. All right. Moving on, agenda item number 11, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding application of BACB authorized continuing education ACE program. Ms. Packman.
Yes, Mr. Chair, just an oral update. We had communicated with Dr. Rates just to ascertain her level of readiness, preparedness to start this process of serving as the ACE coordinator. Concurrently, board staff outlined the process by which we would comply with the documentation requirements that the BACB establishes for ACE ACE-approved providers. So the staff is we're testing this today, as you've observed. We've had code words, and we are we've really replicated much of the process for the Board of Psychologist Examiners for reporting CE, for capturing that, and then issuing the follow-up documentation. So this is really the test run, and if everyone agrees, it's going well. And I defer largely to our ACE coordinator, to give us her impressions. But if the execution of this is successful, what I plan to do is to notify all Arizona LBAs of this opportunity. I didn't want to do that until we had sort of had a little bit of a test. But I could inform them as early as next week and encourage them to attend the August 26th meeting if they are looking for CE credit for maintenance of certification. And I invite Dr. Rates to weigh in with any of the thoughts and impressions that she has.
Yeah, I appreciate that we had a test run today. And I think from my perspective, it went well. In terms of the code words and being able to add that in, I think the topics that were covered certainly speak to ethics. To your point, Dr. Stenhoff, I think that has certainly been covered and I feel comfortable with that. I think, Dr. Stenhoff, you had a question when we started the meeting related to whether or not other committee members could receive CEs. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
So I think it's a topic for
us to discuss. Heidi was able to pull some information, so I appreciate that. I also pulled out the provider handbook. It seems like the space where this might be possible would be as a co-presenter. And so I know that others have had experience being an ACE coordinator, so I just want to see if my understanding of that seems to match yours in terms of that being an option, and that would be how individuals might be able to count CEUs for this event. I see nodding, so I'm going to...
I can chime in on that. I would agree that it would be under, we would all be considered presenters. They would be teaching CEUs. And really, we don't need the verification word. So it could just be something that the certificates or this agenda, you don't even need a teaching certificate. The agenda could serve as that, except the agenda doesn't have the start and end time necessarily. Or I issue teaching certificates just because it makes it easy. But that could be just part of the standard process, is just to issue the committee members teaching certificates every time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are co-presenters or teachers defined anywhere?
Yes, it's in the ACE provider handbook that's on the VACB website. So it's holding an active license, active certificate is one of the options to be able to be considered as a co-presenter.
That was my nodding, Dr. Rates. I believe we would all qualify as co-presenters, given the requirements to be on this committee.
And I think the only way that you would get around the potential of it being a learning CE is if let's say that there's no agenda items being presented by one committee member, then that committee member, it could be like a workshop, right? If we like mm-hmm. their participation itself doesn't necessarily indicate them as the co-presenter. But because of the way that we divide up the work, I just think it would be really confusing to,
I think we may have lost you.
Dr. Davis Wilson, we can hear. I think you're talking.
Nope. No, we're muted. I think what she was suggesting is it would be very difficult to break that up.
Yeah.
The baby stole my earpieces.
Oh, that's what happened. Okay.
Yeah, she's in the other room with my AirPods.
So I think that's what was being shared. It would be difficult to break that up, and I would agree. So as long as somebody has items that they'll be presenting, I think that it does make sense to make that the teaching. I'm not sure we've ever had a meeting where if someone's present, they're not actively participating at some point as the presenter. Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question? Would we need, this is really for Ms. Galvin, do we need some sort of a standing agenda item at the conclusion of each meeting where Dr. Rates, you know, makes a determination that this is, was a qualifying continuing education activity? Is that really necessary? I hadn't thought about that until just now.
Do we know if that is something they do at the full board?
That is not done at the full board, but I also don't know that, I mean, they're not governed by any like ACE provider handbook unless it's through the APA. the board know. So,
Mr. Chair, if I can add to this, I think that, you know, whenever we're typically doing this as other ACE coordinators, we look at all of that information ahead of time. So we make sure that all of those pieces are already exceeding what's in the BACB task list, that it goes above and beyond that. So I would say that our ACE coordinator should be looking over the agenda that is provided ahead of time, looking over the content and determining at that point. You know, my only reason would be to say if we needed to have like a vote or something like that by our ACE coordinator to say that it is applicable would be if we had large deviations away from the agenda, which never appears to happen.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, because it's a review in advance in order to even qualify as offering it to start. So yeah, unless we have some major deviation, and I imagine sometimes when we do go over it actually would add to the ethical discussions and content. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Ritz, hopefully it's not too much extra work. I mean, you're given the agenda and going over, yeah, the list is laid out for you anyway. So yeah, good. Okay.
Yeah, I don't see that to be a problem.
Okay, great. Any other comments? Okay. So just out of curiosity, so an hour equals a credit. Is that how it's going to be running? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think fortunately none of us need more than 4 credit CEUs every couple of years. So there won't be any motive to extend the meetings longer to increase the ethic credits, okay? So, all right. Any other comments about the agenda item? Okay. And then is Ms. Pacanon, is this ready to go on? I know I announced it, so if as members we... Do we also add the code words on the website as we discussed at the beginning of the meeting today?
Mr. Chair, it sounds like you don't need to report the code words to us. We will just get in the routine. By we, I mean mostly Zakiya. We will get in the routine of issuing, after every meeting, the documentation to the committee members, which will be distinct from the documentation that we issue to meeting attendees who report to us the code words.
Great. All right. Okay, so let's move on to agenda item number 12, new agenda items for future meetings. Does anybody have any to suggest?
Mr. Chair, I just want to remind the committee that there's a couple of outstanding items that will come back to you. The application review exercise that we completed recently to compare the content of our applications and ensure that there is support for asking those questions in board statute or rule. We had identified some instances where the application will need to be updated to reflect new EACB requirements. And then Ms. Galvin, I know, had been asked to opine on, what was it, Ms. Galvin? Another matter. It's documented. We'll make sure that they come before the committee next month. We would like for the full committee to be present, and so we hesitated bringing them forward this month.
Okay. Any other items? All right. Well, hearing none, last agenda item, adjournment. Oh.
I was muted, Mr. Chair. I apologize. I was talking. I'm not sure if this qualifies as something for a future agenda, but I figured we could discuss it here. I've been reached out to by the Ethics Committee of AZIABA to present at a continuing education event on behalf of the board in September. So I didn't know if at future meetings we could discuss the the potential for, you know, content in that, if there are any limitations or restrictions, or if this is just a separate conversation I have with board staff. But I wanted to propose that.
That is probably a separate conversation that you can have with board staff and Dr. Stenhoff. Rarely do committee members or board members make presentations on behalf of the board or the committee. It would be in your individual capacity. Because you're not a member of the board, so you can't present on behalf of the board. And we are always careful not to suggest that you are speaking on behalf of the committee or the board. And that would go for any member. And typically in a presentation, there, the first slide is that I'm doing this as an individual member. I'm not speaking on behalf of the committee or the board.
Perfect. I will definitely reach out to board staff.
And Chair, Ms. Denton, I've also been asked to participate on the same panel. So let's get together and we can make sure that we do conforms and aligns with what Ms. Galvin is advising us. And we can also supply her with whatever content we create and give her a chance to review it and give us any of her feedback. And I did remember what the question was, or the issue that we need to revisit, which is the whether we should be defining specific supervisory roles in some way, consulting, managing, directing, and so forth. There were some examples of different supervising individuals in different ways, in different capacities. So there were some questions around that. And so that will come back to you.
Okay, excuse me, any other suggestion? Okay, now hearing that, we'll move on to adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Were you guys trying to milk the ethics credits? All right, so we have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor to adjourn, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. We'll adjourn. Thank you, everybody.